We are up to the last of the drashos of Harami Oviravi, the last of the psukim that are darshan, the pasuk of Ayoti and Hashem Mitzrayim Yad Chazaka, with his rowing to Tiyav Ragadol Vosus Mofsim, that Kach Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand and outstretched arm with great wonders and miracles. We're going to skip around to some of these drashas because they're long in nature, and we're going to try to highlight some of the more important and relevant and inspiring ones of these drashos. The first one that we're going to focus on is Vayotzi Hashem Mitzrayim. The first one, Loyedei Malach, Loyedei Loyedei Shliach, Al Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvodu Va'atzmo, that it was Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, and specifically, as the Medrash explains, performed Makos Bechoros, Vavarti Beret Mitzrayim, Vala Elazev, Yikitsa Kol Bechor Beret Mitzrayim, May Adam Ad Vayehima, Vechol Hei Mitzrayim, Ases Shvatim Ani Hashem, Vavarti Beret Mitzrayim, there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself who performed Makos Bechoros. There's a Haggadah written by Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, who was the Abbas in Yerushalayim, called Evan Yisrael, and he asked a very interesting question from a halachic standpoint. He said that we know a Korban Pesach has the name of Kachay Kalim. It's Kachim, it's a Korban. And generally speaking, the halacha is that a Korban needs to be eaten in a Makom Tahor, Makom Kadosh. When it comes to Kachay Kalim, generally speaking, that means that it needs to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. If one were to leave the walls of Yerushalayim, Bizman HaMikdash, when we offered the Korban Pesach, so that would passel the Korban Pesach, it needs to be eaten within those walls. Ask Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, how could it be that Bnei Yisrael offered the Korban Pesach and ate the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim was a Makom Tameh. And eating in a Makom Tameh clearly should not be allowed within the context of Kachim. What he suggests, based off the Gemara, Mesach HaShavuos, Daf Tetzvav and Aleph, that there are certain times where one can create a Makom Kadosh or Kedusha within certain Kalim by performing the Avodah itself. As the Gemara says, Darin and Kol HaKalim Shasa Moshe, Mishichasam, Mekachan, Mikan Ve'elach, Avodasam, and Chanchan. And therefore, that there are certain times in which when one performs the avoda, that creates the kedusha. And so too over here suggests that Ben Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Rako Fisher, that when Bnei Yisrael engaged in Korban Pesach, that created the makom tahor itself in order to allow them to eat the Korban Pesach. The avoda, the shechting of the Korban Pesach, allowed that area to become tahor, and that was also what allowed them to engage in the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. Now, why was this so necessary? This was necessary because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was going to come down and perform Makos Bechoros, so it was necessary to create a Makom Tor for the Shekhinah to come throughout Mitzrayim in order to perform that Makah itself. And therefore, we actually see that the prerequisite for Makos Bechoros was Korban Pesach. We needed to create that Makom Tahor in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, as the Pasuk says, Vavarti Ber Mitzrayim V'Laila Zeh, and even Lo Malach, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, to perform Makos Bechoros. This idea, I think, is a very, very powerful one, and one can actually see it when it comes to the idea of building the Mishkan itself. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to what is the ultimate purpose of the Mishkan. The Ramban is of the opinion that there are two separate functions of the Mishkan. The primary function of the Mishkan is in order to house the Ribono Shel Olam. And then there's a secondary function of the Mishkan, that there is avoda, there are, you know, korbanos and avoda ha-Mishkan, which one needs to engage in because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. However, the Rambam himself disagrees, and he seems to be of the opinion that there's only one mitzvah for the Beis HaMikdash itself, or the Mishkan, and that is to build a base avoda. He says that in Mitzvah Seh, Cha'achaf. And even though the Torah tells us, Vasili Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham, that really the purpose of the Mishkan was in order to create a house for the Shekhinah to dwell, it seems that according to the Rambam, that the way to create that makom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell is specifically by performing the avoda itself. We see this in Parsha Shmini, that it wasn't until Aaron and Moshe finished all the avodas that led up in the Shivas Yimei Meluim and Yom HaShmini, that that's what was able to bring the Shekhinah down in to the Mishkan itself. And I think the idea on a personal level is that if we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become part of our lives, if we want to be Zocha to Vasul Mikdash V'Shachanti P'Socham, on a personal level, we need to engage in the avoda and create the makom tahor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come into our lives, which is similar to what Bnei Yisrael did in Mitzrayim by performing the Korban Pesach And by doing so, that allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enter into their lives, into a Makom Tahor, and perform Makas Bechoros, which led to their ultimate Geula. The next of the drushes, which we're going to analyze, is further down. We see V'mora Gadol Zugilo Ishlina, that one of the great miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed was that of Gilo Ishlina. That's quite strange. What does it mean that Gilo Ishlina was one of the Nisim which happened? Seemingly, Gilo Ishlina was a result of all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed. What exactly does it mean that V'mora Gadol Zugilo Ishlina, that this was one of the Nisim Neflas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed in Mitzrayim as he took Am Yisrael out? The Siach HaGrid, which is Rav Salvechik's, a Haggadah with Rav Salvechik's Torah in it, asks three simple questions. First he asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need 10 Makos to take us out of Mitzrayim? He could have easily done it without these 10 Makos. In addition, if we look back at the story in Sefer Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu initially requested from Paro for 3 days to leave in order to have a chag for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the implication seemingly was that they were going to return back to Mitzrayim after those 3 days. Now, seemingly, the desire, basically based on the Bris Mei Nebesarim, was that we were going to leave for good and return back to Eretz Yisrael. What was this request of leaving for 3 days, which was the initial request that Moshe makes to Paro? And lastly, why does Moshe request of Paro that when they're going out to the Midbar for 3 days, that it's going to be the Egyptians who are going to provide the cattle and the animals for the korbanos that Am Yisrael was going to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why was that so necessary? And putting all these three things together, it seems quite clear that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just about allowing us to leave Mitzrayim and go through the Korah Barzel in order to make us into not just Avadim to Paro, but Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but was also an opportunity, an educational opportunity for the rest of the world. That the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim and at least part of its lofty aspirations was in order to teach the rest of the world, and in particular the Egyptian people, who were the most powerful nation of the time, to admit to the fact that there's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to abandon their pagan and polytheistic theology and adopt a monotheistic theology and be moda that Hashem HaKadosh Mo'echad. And therefore, with these ideas, I think we can understand, says the Gra, the Siach HaGrid explains, the other questions, that the reason why we needed those 10 Makos was educationally for the Mitzrayim, in order for them to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really pulling the strings behind everything. The 3 days and the request for the candle to be provided by the Mitzrayim was clearly an educational opportunity for them, for the Egyptians to partake in the Avodas Hashem. And more than that, that would have made such a large and loud statement to the rest of the world that this superpower was admitting to the fact and allowing for their slaves to leave for 3 days in order to sacrifice korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would have made a tremendous kiddush Hashem. And now I think we can understand exactly what the Medrash is talking about. What does it mean, Zu Gilo Ishchina? What does it mean that this was, that one of the great miracles that took place in Mitzrayim was Gilo Ishchina? Because that this was a miracle from the standpoint of that's exactly the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was ultimately. While we were unsuccessful in allowing and petitioning Paro to opting to allow Am Yisrael to leave on his own volition, but ultimately at the end of the day, after the Esther Makos and after everything which the Mitzrayim went through, it was very clear that there was only Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And that's exactly what V'mora Gadol Zu Gilo Ishchina is all about. The last of the drushas we're going to talk about, Osos, that one of the great miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed, that Moshe performed, Zamata K'mashenemar V'Zamata Azat Tikach B'yadcha Shetasa Boaz HaOsos, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to take this staff and perform great miracles. And there's very interesting discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu's role by the Eben Yisrael. Exactly why was Moshe Rabbeinu Zocha to perform these great miracles, and why was he such a unique Navi that we say Lo Kam Yisrael Kamosha Od? And he points to the Gemara Maseches Nedarim Alam Chazam and Aleph, that Ina Kosh Baruch Hu Misharish Shlinaso Ela Al Gibor VaAshir VaChacham VaAnav. The Kosh Baruch Hu is only going to rests his shechina, his presence, on a person who is somebody who's strong, who's rich, who's smart, and who's an anav. And all and Bekulam Moshe, and we learn all these things from Moshe Rabbeinu, who possessed all of these great attributes within his personality. But the greatest one, which we see that Moshe Rabbeinu really personifies, is obviously was Anav Mikol Adam, Pnei Adama, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all the people to ever exist. And it was that anivus, it was that sense of humility that really set Moshe apart from everybody else. The Medrash and Shemos Rab explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the suffering of his brothers, as it says, "Vayigdal Moshe v'yetzal echav v'yarbis v'vosam," that he was able to connect to all elements of the Jewish people, young people, old people, men, women, and children, and he was able to feel their pain. And it was this unique ability that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was growing up in the palace of Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was destined to become perhaps the next king of Mitzrayim, yet was able to go out and feel the pain of those who were seemingly beneath him, certainly from a social standpoint. Nevertheless, that's what personified his greatness. This was the anava that allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to rise to greatness and ultimately become the leader to bring us out of Mitzrayim. Hopefully, by understanding this idea of anava that Moshe Rabbeinu personified, we'll be able to implement that within our own lives and be able to cause yeshuos for other members of Am Yisrael. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Pesach.